This is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and today I'm with
Amanda Tindall. I'm the Festival and Creative Director of Edinburgh Science.
I think Edinburgh Science is more on the map than ever. Do you think that?
Well, I'd like to think so. We're the world's first science festival and still one of the world's largest. And obviously we take place in Edinburgh, which has a huge reputation for being a world-class festival city. So the bar is set very high, and we feel that we need to compete with our arts and wider cultural festival colleagues.
Well, of course, you're taking place in April, from the 4th to the 19th of April. So you are out with the melee of the fringe and the international festival and stuff like that. But your offering is very different. I mean, you do have things for every age range, but it is all science based. So tell me a little bit about this year's theme, perhaps. And
yes, so we have in a very lucky position, really, in that we're not medium specific. We can focus on science of all sorts and for all ages. We do pick a theme every year to help sort of focus our attention and to put together a programme that's really complementary and coherent. This year we've chosen the theme of the elements. We're looking to use
that. Seems very chemistry specific.
Well, it's not actually. What we're interested in the fact that it's the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. So Earth Day in 1970 was a mass mobilisation of the public around environmental concerns. And with the 50th anniversary this year, at a time when we're facing increasing uncertainty and complexities and a climate crisis, we thought it was time that we put the environment very firmly at the heart and soul of the Science Festival programme. So we're looking to take the elements, earth, air, fire and water, as a novel way and a novel lens with which to look at the big global challenges and opportunities that face us as individuals, societies and as a planet.
Fire is very much in the news, of course, with Australia and all the bushfires there. What kind of things are you going to do with fire here?
Well, we're using the fire category. Our fire series will actually celebrate the fact that we're all fired up about the need to talk about the climate crisis. So we'll have a whole range of events that are looking at climate policy, looking at practical things that we can do to play a part in combating the climate crisis. We've got events on whether a four-day week can save the planet and save our sanity. The Edinburgh Medal
that
this
would be
year.
Nice.
Well, it would. I'll make sure that I think my board of trustees and my chief exec are in that event. No pressure. The Edinburgh Medal address this year will be given by an Indian environmentalist called Sunita Narain, looking at issues of equity, climate justice, and the links between climate and development. But really a whole host of wider environment activities under the auspices of air, looking at clean air, looking at biodiversity and food security under the earth category, and really celebrating Scotland's Year of Coasts and Waters with a very special programme of activities called Water for Life that will make up our water series.
That sounds great. And have you got any kind of big names, big draws for us that spring to mind?
In terms of big names, we've got a lot of the sort of science favourites, broadcasters. We've got Adam Rutherford from Radio 4's Inside Science. We've got Claudia Hammond. We've got Benita Matowska, who wrote a book called The Sharing Economy. She was a trustee of the BBC for a long time. So we're really excited to have her here. But I think the big highlights for me are some of the more interactive events that we have on and some of the special events that sit under the various themes.
You've always got your roving scientists in their red overalls who I seem to remember in the museum seeing them make something explode. So is that one of the best ways, do you think, of engaging younger people perhaps in science and thinking about science and thinking about perhaps studying science?
Yeah, I think we see the work we do as being part of a lifelong journey of connection with science. So we run an education programme that travels around Scotland for the first 5 months of the year, delivering shows and workshops to primary schools. And we have a careers event that will be taking place next week in the National Museum of Scotland for S1 and S2 pupils to ask them questions about the possible routes into STEM careers they might want to take. But we don't ask them what will you do? We don't know what jobs will exist 10 years down the line. Instead, we adopt what we call a very futurist approach, where we ask them what role they would like to play in solving big problems. So how would you help heal and feed the world? How would you build and connect it?
Just small questions, really.
Yeah, just the little ones. But I think with younger people, then that moment of excitement, that what we call the aha moment, that you can get from some of the whiz bang science, can really spark an interest that we try then to develop activities and routes to science that people can explore in their own time and take more deeply. And we put a big emphasis on making sure that we have a really substantial adult program. A lot of people think that the Science Festival is just for kids. And that strength of reputation we have for our kids program has sometimes been a double-edged sword. What I'm particularly interested in is how we can link people who are not interested in science to science topics. People are put off by, and I think we've talked before, they're put off by the stigma of science. But we try through our adult program then to link science with the arts and the digital and creative industries, to run our GastroFest program of events around food and science, also that we can lower the barrier to access for people that don't think science is for them, but we think it is.
Whereabouts are your events taking place? Is it the City Arts Centre and the museum? Are they your main hubs? And is there anywhere else that people should know about?
So we're actually taking place in about 30 venues around the city, but the key ones are the City Arts Centre, which houses our 5-floor science playground of hands-on activities for about the under 12s. We'll also be working in the National Museum of Scotland again. We'll have a big new exhibition there called Pale Blue Dot, which is one of my favourites. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But we're also in year two of using the Pleasance. So the Pleasance obviously has a reputation as a fringe venue. We used it last year as our adult hub, and that will have a dinosaur themed weekend across Easter weekend. It will house all of our shows, performances. We'll have a new Cyber Zone workshop program, which is aimed at teens and adults who want to get to grips with coding, technology, and the digital world.
That's quite a big announcement then, really, that you're taking over the Pleasance.
Last year was the first year that we did it, but this year we are stepping up the program. So it will have a bigger program there. A bigger program at the Pleasance. And as always, we'll be working with a lot of the major cultural organisations across the city. So Dynamic Earth, the Botanic Gardens, the zoo, various galleries. You name it. And if we can find a way to explore science with city partners, then we will.
Tell me a little bit about your program cover, because I don't really understand it. Well, or maybe you can explain it is perhaps my better question.
So we've gone big on the EdSciFest hashtag, which I think is a way for us to not only connect with people online, but also a way to link into the fact that we'll be doing a little bit more by way of online content. So we're looking at ways in which we can reach wider and more diverse audiences online, but also how we can deepen the experience of audiences to some of our live events. So we'll have a little bit of a microsite that will link in particular to some of the climate events, and that people will be able to access it through that.
So you're going to have some live streaming, or?
We will be doing one live stream event from the Scottish Parliament with the medal recipients, Anita Narain, and we're also looking at how we might capture more content, podcasts, short video, etc., perhaps with partners like yourself.
Well, that would be great, Amanda. That would be great.
And in terms of the image,
image on your front cover, it's got a match.
So it's got a match, and the match has, I say, a flame, but the flame is made up of four parts, which represent our four elements.
Oh, I see now.
So the image alone,
you have a world. It looks like a world in there. Globe.
Perfect opportunity for some puns. So the head of the match is a globe. So it's very much a way for us to put front and foremost this environmental messaging, the sense of our responsibility and custodianship for planet Earth, and the earth, air, fire and water symbols, which are forming our flame, perfect opportunity for a load of puns here. So we could call it a very striking image.
Ooh.
We say we're looking to spark debate around the climate crisis.
You're firing people up. Okay, I get it. And if you were a member of the public and you were thinking, okay, I want something to go to, perhaps with some friends or, you know, on one day, on one occasion, where's the thing that really appeals to you, Amanda? Where's the event that appeals to you?
I always find it very difficult when I'm asked to pick an event. It's like picking between children and having to choose a child. If I had to pick something for young people to do, you can't beat at the City Arts Centre. It is really transformed every science festival into this indoor sort of playground of hands-on activities, mainly aimed at the under 12s. You can buy a day pass, you can spend the whole day there, you can dress up and carry out surgery, you can dig up dinosaurs, you can explore Scottish wildlife. We've got a couple of new workshops in there this year. One is a Lego underwater constructors workshop that
Who's
is linked
underwater
to the era.
The Lego or you?
You're creating underwater environments through Lego. So nobody harmed in the making of that workshop.
Jolly good.
The other one is a new creative coding workshop with Marty the Robot. So there's some coding and tech that's been added into there. So that would be my main pick for a family event.
Can I ask you finally, do you think that we should be in despair, as perhaps Greta Thunberg would have us? Or do you think that there is hope? And do you think perhaps that your science festival actually offers some roots to that hope? What do you think?
I'm really glad that you've asked me that question, because this is something that I've thought a lot about. I've been organising events on climate change for 20 odd years, and it's been amazing to see the change in the past 12 months or so in terms of public opinion. So whilst 2019 was not a great year for the climate and for planet Earth, we saw the fires in Australia, where I lived for 6 years, so it was very close to my heart. We saw the hottest temperatures ever recorded, but we also saw this massive upswell of public interest and a real turning of the tide in terms of public opinion. We've seen the prices of renewables go down, we've seen the technology advance. So yes, we live in very uncertain times, but I think with uncertainty comes possibility, and with possibility comes hope. And I think that is the elemental message at the heart of this year's program. So it is a hopeful program, and we hope everybody can come and join us in April to enjoy it.
That's be great. We hope to be there too. Thank you very much, Amanda, for speaking
Good.
With us.
Good. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to the Edinburgh Reporter podcast. Listen out for more episodes coming soon.